Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm China. Today is the fourth day of January. Welcome. So great to be here with you guys today. Man, what an honor it is that I get to read the word of the Lord to you in your house, in your home, in your car. Wow, house and home is the same thing, but in your car, in your workplace, outside, on your phone, wherever it is that you are listening, it's an honor to be here with you today. And just know that you are not alone. You couldn't be alone even if you tried. The presence of God is with us. His word promises us that that is the reality. So with our hearts centered in a place of hope and community, I'm excited to dive into the word today. So if this is your first year reading chronological, there's going to be some times where we jump into one book and we don't finish it all the way through. We'll jump into another book. Today is one of those days. We are in the book of Job today. Job is to be believed one of the older books in the Bible, hence why we are reading it. This is the chronological reading plan, which means the way that we believe it happened in order. So, if it feels a little disruptive, great. It's not the goal, but there's nothing wrong with it. So, we are in Job chapter 1 through 5, and we are continuing on with the New International Version for this week. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabines attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this point, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one had said a word to him, because they saw how great his suffering was. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. He said, "May the day of my birth perish, and the night that said, 'A boy is conceived.' That day, may it turn to darkness. May God above not care about it. May no light shine on it. May gloom and utter darkness claim it once more. May a cloud settle over it. May blackness overwhelm it. That night, may thick darkness seize it. May it not be included among the days of the year, nor be entered into any of the months. May that night be barren. May no shout of joy be heard in it. May those who curse days curse that day. Those who are ready to rouse Leviathan, may its morning stars become dark. May it wait for daylight in vain and not see the first days of dawn. For it did not shut the doors of the womb on me to hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb? Why were there knees to receive me and breasts that I may be nursed? For now I would be lying down in peace. I would be asleep and at rest with kings and rulers of the earth, who built for themselves places now lying in ruins, with princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Or why was I not hidden away in the ground like a stillborn child, like an infant who never saw the light of day? There the wicked seize with turmoil, and there the weary are at rest. Captives also enjoy their ease. They no longer hear the slave driver's shout. The small and the great are there, and the slaves are freed from their owners? Why is light given to those in misery, and life to the bitter of soul? To those who long for death that does not come, who search for it more than for hidden treasure, who are filled with gladness and rejoice when they reach the grave. Why is life given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? For sighing has become my daily food. My groans pour out like water. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. And Eliphaz the Temanite replied, "If someone ventures a word with you, will you be impatient? But who can keep from speaking? Think how you have instructed many, how you have strengthened feeble hands. Your words have supported those who stumbled. You have strengthened faltering knees. But now trouble comes to you and you are discouraged. It strikes you and you are dismayed. Should not your pity be your confidence and your blameless ways be your hope? Consider now, who, being innocent, has ever perished? Where were the upright ever destroyed? As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. At the breath of God they perish. At the blast of his anger they are no more. The lions may roar and growl, yet the teeth of the great lions are broken. The lion perishes for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered. A word was secretly brought to me. My ears caught a whisper of it. Amid disquieting dreams in the night, when deep sleep falls on people, fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. A spirit glided past my face, and the hair on my body stood on end. It stopped, but I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes, and I heard a hushed voice. Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can even a strong man be made more pure than his maker? If God places no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who live in houses of clay, whose foundations are in the dust, who are crushed more readily than a moth? Between dawn and dusk they are broken to pieces. Unnoticed they perish forever. Are not the cords of their tent pulled up, so that they die without wisdom? Call if you will, but who will answer you? To which of the holy ones will you turn? Resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple. I myself have seen a fool taking root, but suddenly his house was cursed. His children are far from safety, crushed in court without a defender. The hungry consume his harvest, taking it even among the thorns, and the thirsty pant after his wealth. For hardship does not spring from the soil, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. Yet man is born to trouble, as surely as sparks fly upward. But if I were you, I would appeal to God. I would lay my cause before him. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. He provides rain for the earth. He sends water on the countryside. The lowly he sets on high, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He thwarts the plans of the crafty, so that their hands achieve no success. He catches the wise in their craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are swept away. Darkness comes upon them in the daytime. At noon they grope as in the night. He saves the needy from the sword in their mouth. He saves them from the clutches of the powerful. So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts its mouth. Blessed is the one whom God corrects, and so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. From six calamities he will rescue you, and seven no harm will touch you. In famine he will deliver you from death, and in battle from the stroke of the sword. You will be protected from the lash of the tongue, and need not fear when destruction comes. You will laugh at destruction and famine, and need not fear the wild animals. For you will have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the wild animals will be at peace with you. You will know that your tent is secure. You will take stock of your property and find nothing missing. You will know that your children will be many, and your descendants like the grass of the earth. You will come to the grave in full vigor, like sheaves gathered in season. We have examined this, and it is true. So hear it and apply it to yourself. So we entered into the story of Job today, and it's a pretty interesting one. Interesting in the fact that we have God and the angels having like a powwow, and then Satan comes in and he's been roaming the earth, and then God is like, hey, have you considered Job? My question is like, considered him for what? What has Satan been doing on the earth? And I'm sure we can probably answer that. We know that the enemy comes to lie, steal, kill, destroy. And so we hear this dialogue. God's like, have you considered Job? And Satan's like, of course he's blessing you because he has everything. Like, he's blessed and highly favored. Like, he has no reason to complain or even frown. He's good. He's great. And I think what is so captivating about this story is that the Lord trusts Job. He has enough trust and faith in him that regardless of what happens, that he's going to stay faithful to the Lord. And I think because of Job's character and because the Lord knows him and knows and sees his heart, he's like, yeah, Lord, Satan, I'm going to teach you a lesson here. And so we read all of what happens and just the true despair that Job is going through. I mean, talk about depression. He loses everything, everything. And so we hear that happen, and then Job is cursing the day that he was born. You know, that's like seriously like clinical depression right there, is wishing you weren't born and wishing to not be alive anymore. And he's not okay. And his wife is like, look, if you just curse the Lord, you'll die and it'll be over. And like, wow, how supportive is that? Like, that's not helpful by any means. She's not supportive. She's not, well, the story isn't about her. And then we have his friends come with him, and they're sitting with him in silence, and they don't speak for 7 days. They don't move. And then that's when Job is like, I wish I wasn't born. Like, mom, why did you give birth to me? Like, would have literally been better to experience nothing than to have all of this pain happen to me. And which again is severe depression. And then one of his friends speaks up and he's like, hey, so basically what I believe to be true about the Lord is that this doesn't happen unless you deserve it. So you got what was coming to you. And like, praise the Lord, you know? And it's like, dude, first off, I feel like this is where we get the phrase and the advice of sometimes just better to be there and listen than it is to speak. Because sometimes, truthfully, we can do more damage by speaking and opening our mouths than just offering our presence and just being there. And so he gives him some pretty intense advice that isn't true. Like, he doesn't know. And like, I kind of want to give this guy the benefit of the doubt, but also like, he's saying things that aren't true, the things that he doesn't know. And maybe like, yeah, that was the character and the pattern of God, so it would be safe to assume that, but that's not the truth. Job didn't live a highly sinful life, and this was him being punished. Something deeper was going on. And so we finish out the story with this man's dialogue going on of like, hey, Job, you know, basically, stop crying, stop complaining, you're good. When it's like, it just happened. And I think if anything, like a great takeaway from today's story is that if you have someone who's just going through the ringer, maybe you're that person or maybe you have someone, just be aware that what you say can really help be like a healing balm, or it can absolutely just push that knife in deeper and twist it. And so it's important that sometimes words aren't really needed. Just being there for someone is helpful. And of course, you can always ask them. I think one of the most beautiful and humble things that you can say is, I don't really know what to say or what to do right now, but I'm here. Is there anything I can do to serve you? And yet, sometimes we get so uncomfortable with people's pain, we don't know what to do. There's been so many times I've been uncomfortable with people that I love, with their pain, and I don't know what to do, and so I freeze. And then, you know, I've had people that I love, friends, tell me, that was pretty hurtful. And I'm like, dang it, I was trying to not do the wrong thing, and I still messed up. And then that's where you have open communication, and there can be an invitation for healing. And it's just helpful to know, like, sometimes people just want you to sit with them and say nothing. I feel like the friends, like, they got it right there. And then when this guy opened his mouth and it isn't speaking life, he's making assumptions, he's ridiculing him even more. And so let this just be like a gentle reminder to listen with the intention of listening. Not listening with the intention to speak and to give our two cents and what we think the Lord is doing and what we really think is going on. And these are the steps that you should take, and then you will stop grieving. You should be good by Monday. See you at work then. So Lord, I pray that we would humble ourselves and know that we don't have the right words to comfort and bring healing. We don't possess that power. And so Lord, I just pray that we would be able to pause and to ask Holy Spirit to come, to be with whoever is hurting in that situation, and that we could just be a servant to them so that we can look like you. I pray that, Lord, that you would just be near to the brokenhearted as your word promises that you are. I pray that we would be people who are quick to listen and slow to speak, quick to help and serve, and slow to give our opinion and our advice, even if we think that what we have is right and it is the clear and obvious decision. That's not what's important. What's important is for that person to feel love in the comfort of Jesus. And so, Lord, may we be willing vessels. God, I pray that we would learn from this story and that would be our teacher. And we thank you, Lord, that you are good. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So have you been thinking about what it is that you would like to fast for 21 days? Look, I know fasts aren't like anyone's favorite thing to do, right? It's disruptive. It allows critical thinking to happen. It allows change to take place. And that can be disruptive. And it can be so good and so healing and rejuvenating and cleansing and all the other things. So I encourage you, ask the Lord, Lord, what is taking up a lot of my attention that you would like to have? And just allow that to be uncomfortable, wrestle in that. And then just ask the Lord, okay, would you give me the strength? May you lean into the Lord in a totally new way than you ever have before. If you have questions, if you have feelings that you didn't know was there, like, talk about that with the Lord. He's there. He's faithful to listen and to hear you. So that starts up in 3 days. Super stoked to hear from you guys what comes up, what you are fasting, what happens in this space of time. Very, very excited with and for you. If you have prayer requests and things that you would like to pray over people, you've heard their prayer requests and you want to call in and pray over them, if you listen through the app, there's a way for you to record your prayer request and send it in. If you would like to do it the old-fashioned way, you can call in. You can call in 583-2164. And those get played at the end of every day's podcast. But that is all for today. I'm China. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, my family. It's Eliotto Bible Chronological. This is NC Tessa from North Carolina, and I am just calling to wish you all a happy and healthy new year. We have finished another year together, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited about Jill and China coming together and working as mother and daughter for the kingdom of God. I'm excited to go into deeper understanding, to strengthen what we already know, and to build this community of believers. Gosh, I just love every single one of you. I love the prayer requests. I love the songs that people sing. I love hearing your hearts. And Happy New Year to each and every one of you. May God protect you and keep you. Love you guys.
Hi there, DABC family. This is Tracy from Baltimore. I am a long-time listener, but a pretty infrequent caller. I just wanted to say, first of all, Jill, how much I have enjoyed going through the Bible with you this year chronologically. I am just so impressed with the way that you learned how to say those names. I know that was a big hang-up for you, but by the end of the Old Testament, you were an old pro. You have been doing so well, and I just thank you for sticking with it and your perseverance and just doing the work. I just really appreciate you and the example that you are. I am calling for prayer for my grown daughters. They are 30 and 35, and they are beautiful and accomplished in their own right. I do think, however, that they may be struggling with their faith, and that could be leading them down paths that causes me to question where they will spend eternity and if they're happy in their own well-being. So I'm just asking for prayer. It's very hard to be the mother of grown folk because you don't really get a say in their decision making, and so I'm just asking for prayer for them, just to cover them. Ask that God will show himself strong in their lives and loving and faithful, and just show up strong in their lives. And then also peace for my own mind, and that I will be able to have the words to speak when they want to hear it. Thank you.
Good morning, DABC family. This is Michael in Compton, and it is December 30th. A couple more days left in 2021, and I am calling to congratulate, thank, and praise Jill for such a wonderful job with the DABC this year. This is my first year listening. And I know, Jill, you were a little anxious in starting on how you would do with this, but you have just done a fantastic job. Your openness with us and honesty has been a blessing, a true blessing to listen to you and also listening to Brian on DAB. So now I am hooked. I have to have both of these podcasts daily, and I intend to continue to listen in 2022. Again, thank you. Thank you all who've called in with your prayer request, and may God bless each and every one of you in the new year. May God bless and praise you, bless you, and give you health, strength, and prosperity within in 2022. Thank you.
Hi guys, this is Carissa from Santa Fe, New Mexico. I apologize, I'm a little bit behind, but I am catching up pretty quickly. And I just wanted to reach out to a few of you and let you know that I'm praying for you. Abigail from Oregon, I'm praying for you and your sister for healing, support, and recovery. It was nice to hear your update about what she was going through, and I really am praying for your strength and for her recovery and for her to lean on you a little bit so that she could get better. Marilyn from New Hampshire, I am praying for the reconciliation between you and your daughters, Kate and Bree, I believe you said. I pray that your daughters come to know Jesus, and I really hope that your Christmas was better than Thanksgiving, because it sounded like it was a little hard for you. Sarah from Ohio, I am still praying for you. I really believe that Jesus will give you and your family a baby. He's so good and he's so faithful, and I really truly believe that you will have a baby soon. An update on my sister, who is also going through IVF. All her eggs failed, so this round was also unsuccessful for her. She was really, really crushed because it gave her a lot of hope and nothing worked out, but she is moving forward, so praise God for that. Also, Righteous at Ransom, I am praying for your friend Sarah, who is a wife and a mother of three, who it sounds like she could have MS. I am praying for that whole situation. So I'll call back soon. Okay, bye-bye.